continue our thoughts on living a more than conqueror's life. We've seen so far that it's a life, of course, based upon the miracle of salvation. You're not going to live this life apart from a personal experience of God's saving grace. Realizing that we are saved gives us a focus upon Christ. We've seen that, and last week we looked at the fact that it's a life based upon the pattern of Jesus Christ. Tonight we'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, very familiar passage of Scripture. We'd like to read verses 19 through verse 34. Matthew 6, verses 19 through verse 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. These, of course, are the words of Christ, part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's important as you read the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching about a particular way of life. He is preaching about a particular way of living. He's preaching about a very definite lifestyle. And this way of life, this way of living, this lifestyle that he's presenting here in the Sermon on the Mount, is really simply the Christ life. It's what is described in the book of John as the abundant life. It is a heavenly life lived upon earth. It's simply a life that is lived supremely, wholeheartedly, and completely for the Lord. And so this life is presented throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and we see here that it is presented as really kingdom of God living. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So this Christian life that we're talking about is a life of more than conquerors. It's also kingdom of God living. And when you think of a kingdom, you think, of course, of rule and reign. You think of a king. And of course, in this particular life that we're dealing with, we're talking about the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in our own lives. When you think of a kingdom, you have to have subjects. You have a king, you have subjects. We are the subjects. The subjects are in submission to the king. When you think of a kingdom, there's not only a king, there's not only subjects, but there has to be laws. And of course, the word of God is our law. So this kingdom way of living is simply Christ's throne established in our heart. It's his power in our hearts, his power upon our lives. It's you and I submitting to the greatness and the majesty of Jesus Christ. It's you and I submitting to the ownership and authority of Christ. It's you and I exalting Jesus Christ, being in submission and obedience to the laws of God. It's simply living life as God designed it. And all through the Bible, we see how to do that, how to live life as God designed it. Now, there are very few people, of course, in the world, there are very few of God's people who live life as God designed it. That is, by God's standards, by God's laws. This life is spiritual living. It's right living. Spiritual living and right living. It's a life that is very clearly seen. When someone lives this life, it's clearly seen. It's a life that is a very decided life. There's no wavering in this life. This is a life that one is very decided in. This kingdom of God living, it's certainly distinct from the lifestyle that the world lives. It's in very stark contrast to the life of the world. It's in stark contrast to the principles that the world lives by. It's in stark contrast to the aspirations of the world and the pursuits of the world and the behavior of the world. So if you live this life, it's noticed. Can't help but notice an individual that lives this life. This is not an ordinary life. This is not the customary. This isn't the typical life. This isn't the common life. This isn't regular. This isn't usual. This certainly is not mainstream. It is a life that is far, far excels the life of the world. It's an extraordinary way of living. And this kingdom of God lifestyle and way of living is possible for every child of God. We want to consider tonight five necessities for living this life. Five necessities for living this life, a life of more than a conqueror or kingdom of God living. And we see these five things here in these verses that we've just read. In verses 19 through verse 21, there must be right values. If you're going to live this life, you have to value the right things. Now in reference to the kingdom of God, in reference to kingdom of God living, Jesus gives a twofold command in verses 19 and 20. And he gives some instruction concerning values. This command is first of all given from the negative by way of warning. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And then that is followed by a reason not to lay up treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. So we have a command from the negative, and then we have a command by the way of exhortation from the positive side in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and then a reason follows. And there, of course, these treasures cannot be stolen. Now, the reason behind both the warning and the exhortation is given in verse 21. This is why we shouldn't lay up treasures upon earth. This is why we should lay up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is a statement of absolute certainty. Wherever your treasure is, whatever it is that you place value upon, that is where your heart will be also. Now, these values are described by the word treasures. And a treasure, of course, is something that we esteem. Something that we esteem to be most excellent. It's the most excellent thing in our life. It is what we appraise to be of the most value in our life. And everybody does that. We all appraise something of value in our life. We appraise something to be most valuable in our life. That's true of saved man. That's true of lost man. We appraise something. There is something in our life that is more important than anything else. That's our treasure. Whatever that is our treasure. Our treasure is what we derive the most satisfaction from. It's where we find our main satisfaction. Whatever that's in, wherever that may be, that is our treasure. Now, Christ mentions here two sorts of treasures. Notice in verse 19, there are treasures upon earth. Preposition is upon. There are also treasures in, preposition is in, heaven. I believe there's a difference between upon and in, but we're not going to go into that this evening. But these two phrases, treasures upon earth, treasures in heaven, those two phrases contrast that which is secular and that which is spiritual. Treasures upon earth is secular. Treasures in heaven is spiritual. It contrasts the temporal. Treasures upon earth are temporal. Treasures in heaven are eternal. So we have a contrast between these two treasures. Now, in verse 19, we see that opening word is lay, and then we see the second word of verse 20. Is the word lay, which means to put, to place, to set. Do not put your treasures in earthly things. Do not set your treasures. Do not place your treasures in earthly things. That's what he's saying in verse 19. In verse 20, he's saying, put your treasures in spiritual things. Place your treasures, set your treasures in spiritual things. Now, this word lay signifies a deliberate choice. You lay something on a table, you have made a choice to do that. You lay your treasures in heaven or you lay your treasures in earth. Either way, it is a deliberate choice. It is a willful act. And it is a deliberate choice and a willful act based upon an attitude. If we lay our treasures in heaven, that shows, or if we lay our treasures upon earth, that speaks volumes of our attitude toward the earthly. It also speaks volumes of our attitude toward the spiritual. And the same thing applies. If you lay your treasures in heaven, there's an attitude there. You have to have a certain attitude to lay your treasures in spiritual things. And it also speaks of your attitude toward the earthly things. So that which we esteem most excellent, that which we esteem the most important, really determines how you and I are going to view life, how you and I are going to live our lives. What we esteem to be most excellent, what we esteem to be most important, shapes the very lives that we live. So everything rises and falls right here, where we place our value. What do we esteem to be valuable? What is most valuable in our life? What is the most important thing in our lives? And people can give all kinds of answers, and sometimes they give these answers, they think that that's a good answer. Some may say, well, my spouse is the most valuable, the most important thing to me. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. My children. Shouldn't be. Those are earthly things. Not saying that those aren't important. We're not saying that those things are not valuable. But we are to place our treasures in heaven. Everything, everything about this Christian life rises and falls right here. Where do we place our value? What is it that we find the most satisfaction in? What is that thing that is the most important to us? So Jesus sets a foundation here of having a right, putting value in the right things. The second thing we notice is there must be right loyalties. And these things all work together. Where you have one, you're going to have the other. In verse 22 and 23, again, he's speaking in reference to kingdom of God living. And he speaks here of the necessity of having a spiritual mindset or focus. And that's what he's already stressed in verses 19 and 20. But the spiritual mindset or focus is, in verse 22, thine eye be single. Thine eye be single. And I believe that corresponds to treasures in heaven. If our eye is single, then it says the whole body is full of light. If our eye is single, if we have a single focus, again, this corresponds to treasures in heaven, and it is opposed to a carnal mindset or a carnal focus, which is expressed in verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, which corresponds to treasures upon earth. But the point here is that whatever our mindset is, that speaks of where our values are, whether they be in heaven or in earth. And wherever our treasure is, that's going to determine our loyalty. Verse 24, he goes on to say, no man can serve two masters. That is, no man can serve two masters at the same time. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God corresponds to what? Treasures in heaven. Mammon, do not limit mammon to money, because it includes much more than that. Mammon corresponds with treasures upon earth. That is, you can't balance these two. You can't balance treasures in heaven and treasures on earth. It's one or the other. And notice here in verse 24, the phrase is the one, the other. It's not both. It's the one or the other. The one or the other. It's either treasures upon earth or it is treasures in heaven. The one or the other. And notice you cannot love them both at the same time. It says you will love one, you will hate the other. You will love one, you will despise the other. You will hold to one, you will not hold to the other. So there is no neutrality. No neutrality here of who we serve. You cannot waver back and forth. You serve one or the other. You live your life for one or the other. It is things in heaven or things in earth. So our values, what we consider the most valuable, what we consider the most excellent, what we consider the most important, that now determines our loyalty. It determines who we serve, whether it be ourselves, whether it be the world, whether it be God, or where, whatever we consider the most important, when it comes right down to it, that's who we're going to serve. That's who we're going to live for, what we consider to be the most important. Then we see in verses 25 through 31 that there must be right concerns. Now again, whatever we consider the most excellent, whatever we consider the most important, that determines who we serve. But it also determines what we are the most concerned about. We need to examine ourselves from time to time. And what is it? What is it that I am the most concerned about? What are the things that bother me the most? What are the things that get me the most excited? Because whatever that is, that tells us where our treasures are. That tells us where our focus is. Where is our main concern? Now we see there are two things. There's treasures upon earth. There are treasures in heaven. And he goes on here, beginning with verse 25 through verse 31, and he warns against wrong concerns. He says, he uses the phrase, take no thought, or taking thought. In verse 25, he says, take no thought for your life. And then he explains what he means by that. He goes on to explain food and raiment and drink. He uses the term in verse 27, which of you by taking thought, which of you by being concerned can add a cubit to his stature? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. That is, these things, it doesn't mean that you do not give these any thought whatsoever, of course. That would go against other scriptures, so we know that's not what it's talking about. But these things are not to control. These things are not to dominate our lives. These are not to be our main concerns. Our main concerns are to be heavenly things. Now notice, he in verse 25, he uses the word eat, drink, what you shall put on. He mentions meat, and he mentions raiment. Verse 31, he uses the words eat, drink, and clothed. Those things correspond to treasures upon earth. And if our treasures are upon earth, these are the things that we are going to be the most concerned about. Why do most people in an election vote their pocketbook over morality? It's because that's where their treasure is. That's what they're most concerned about. That's what they see as most important. That's what they see as the main thing in their lives. And Jesus is telling us here that if we're going to live this kind of life that he is describing, we have to put value in the right thing. That'll cause us to have our loyalties right, and that'll cause us to be concerned about the right thing. I mean, what are we going to get most upset about? A scratch on a brand new car? Or that we have gone backwards spiritually? What is it that bothers us the most? What is it that upsets us the most? Material things or spiritual things? These things tell us where our values are. What is it that concerns us the most? Whether or not I'm going to have enough to eat, or my next door neighbor's dying and going to hell. What is it that bothers us the most? What are the things that we are most concerned about? Where my son or daughter is going to go to college, or where they're going to go to church? Where are our concerns? Because, again, these tell us where our values are. They tell us where our values are. Not where's my son and daughter going to work, or where are they going to go to church? Which is it that concerns us the most? So he says that we're not to be overly concerned about the things of the earth. His next point in verse 32. He talks about pursuing the right things. He says in verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek." The "these things" immediately goes back to eat, drink, and clothing in verse 31. But it goes further than that. It goes back to God and man. It goes back to mammon. It goes back to treasures upon earth. These are the things that the heathen seek. Why do the heathen seek these things? Because they see these things as the most important. They see these things as the most valuable. So therefore, they pursue these things. Whatever it is that we pursue most earnestly, that's where our treasure is. You can deny, you can say where your treasure is all you want to, but what you pursue, what you chase, in spite of what you say, that's where your treasure is. That's what you're living for. So there has to be right pursuits. But he says, after all these things, food, drink, raiment, just the cares of this life, do the Gentiles seek. They not only seek them, they are absorbed with these things. They're absorbed in these things. They are swallowed up by these things. They are occupied with these things. They are obsessed with these things. Again, these things also correspond to treasures upon earth. They correspond to that mammon. And the heathen are obsessed with these. They're allured by these things. It's like a magnet that draws them. They are intrigued by these things. This is what they live for. This is what they pursue. Why do they look to these things? Because in their minds, this is what's most important. This is what will bring me happiness. These things. If I can only reach this goal, then I'll be happy. Not if that goal falls under the category of these things. That these things do not bring happiness. That these things do not bring pleasure. But why do they pursue these things? Because they believe that these things will bring satisfaction. Everybody finds security to be very, very important. And if you know anything at all, you know that a child of God, if you're depending on the things of this earth, God will take them away in a second. He shows us over and over and over again, that's not where our security is. So it seems to me it is a waste of a life to pursue these things. Oh, I just want to give security to my family. Are you that ignorant? Are you that ignorant? Do you not realize that security is in heaven? Security is in heavenly things, spiritual things. But the heathen, they don't realize this. The heathen, they don't know better. They honestly believe that these things is what's going to give me security. These things are who I am. These things identify me, what I'm about. That shouldn't be the case, the child of God. These wrong pursuits, it all goes back to treasures upon earth. That's where it all goes back to. You take care of treasures upon earth. You lay up treasures in heaven rather than treasures upon earth. You get your mind set on the right thing. And now you'll pursue the right thing. But if you just determine in your mind, okay, I see what you're saying. Starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to start pursuing the right things. And you might for a day. But unless you change your whole mindset, what it is that you place the most value in, you will not continually pursue the right things. The reason God's people pursue the wrong things is because they place value in the wrong things. That leads to misplaced concerns, which leads to misplaced pursuits. And while we're busy pursuing the wrong thing, all that does is distract us from what really matters. All it does is distract us from what really is valuable, what really is important. And that leads us to the fifth thing. For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, verse 33, but seek ye, that is, in contrast, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. God will supply. But you seek the right thing. There has to be a right priority. Now, consider those words, those first three words of verse 33. But seek ye. In contrast to, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, consider how the heathen seek the things of the earth. Because we're to seek spiritual things that same way. The heathen do not seek the things of the earth reluctantly. You know what they seek reluctantly? If you tell them the truth. They're reluctant about that. You give them money, there's no reluctancy. They seek these things reluctantly. Or not reluctantly. They do so very, very heartily. They do not seek these things minimally. They seek these things with great earnest. They do not seek these things occasionally. It's a constant. It's a constant pursuit. It's a diligent pursuit. We are to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we are not to do so reluctantly. How shameful that when you tell a child of God, you ought to put spiritual ahead of physical. You ought to put spiritual ahead of material. That they're reluctant. That we would have any reluctancy whatsoever is shameful. That we would just occasionally seek spiritual things. And this is what most people do. If they have a problem or if they need something, they'll seek spiritual things for a while. But they're not constant in it. But when the heathen seek these things, the things of the earth, they do so continually. So he speaks here of a right object of pursuit. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, Christ has been explaining that righteousness throughout the sermon. But seeking the kingdom of God means to seek kingdom business. It is to seek that which is spiritual. That which is most beneficial to the soul. That which benefits my soul the most. And this is in contrast to that which is beneficial to life, that which is beneficial to body. Now, to seek the kingdom of God, do you not have to seek the king of that kingdom? Certainly. So to seek the kingdom of God is to seek the King. It is to seek the Lord. This includes the will of God. Seek the will of God. Seek the will of God. Rather than seeking these things of the earth, seek the will of God. Seek the rule of God. Seek the word of God. Seek the commandments of God. Seek the honor and glory of God. Seeking the kingdom of God is to seek to worship God. It means that we seek to worship Him. It means that we seek to praise Him. It means that we seek to thank Him, to love Him, to be in fellowship with Him, to be near to Him, to know Him, to be identified with Him. To seek the kingdom of God means that we seek to have our lives and His life intertwined, that we be weaved to Him, that we be surrendered to Him. This is our pursuit. Seek the kingdom of God. This is our object. This is our aim. This is to be our way of life. But he not only says, seek the kingdom of God. He not only says, and again, seek the kingdom of God corresponds to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Mean the same thing. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God. Now he tells us, not only are we to seek the right object, but the right object must be given the right priority. The right object must be given the right priority. Notice he says, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Not second. Not third. Seek ye first. Well, what if seek ye first? Well, what if this happens? Seek ye first. Is there anything we don't understand about that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first the will of God. Oh, if I get this job, or if I can go to school here, this will make all the difference in my life. Seek first the will of God. Seek first the glory of God. Seek first the worship of God. Seek first to be close to God. So first here is in sense of order. Seek first in sense of order the kingdom of God. That means that the kingdom of God, treasures in heaven, spiritual things, are to go before and are to precede earthly things. And that is to always be so. First, in sense of priority. That is, this is to be foremost. This is to be the primary thing. The kingdom of God. His righteousness. This is to be the chief thing. This is to be the highest and the most supreme thing in our life. This is our treasure. Treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to do that. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Not until you realize that that is the most important. It won't happen. It won't happen. I don't care how hard you try. It will not happen. Unless we go all the way back to verses 19 through 21. That has to be in place. What is it that we place the most importance upon? That's what we're going to seek first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual, has to be the main thing. So what all this means is that the spiritual and the eternal, that which is beneficial to my soul, that which is most beneficial to me, that which will give the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, that which will bring intimacy with God, is to go before anything else. We shouldn't have any problem understanding this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That which is spiritual, that which is eternal, that which is beneficial to the soul, should be foremost, should be the primary thing, should be the supreme thing, the thing that has preeminence, the thing that dominates our life. Spiritual things, spiritual concerns are to dominate our life. Now, this doesn't mean that other things of our life aren't important. It doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is that spiritual things are the most important. We're not saying that our jobs and our education and our spouses and our children aren't important. Of course they are. Bible teaches them. Bible teaches us how we're to do all of those things. But nothing is as important as the spiritual. Physical health is never more important than spiritual health. Never. Spiritual health is always the most important thing. It doesn't mean that we're not to be concerned about physical health. It doesn't mean that we can't pray for people who have physical problems, but we need to keep everything in its right order. If a person is lost, they're on their way to hell. Believe me, praying for their physical needs is very minute to their spiritual condition. It's my son, my daughter's lost. Pray that they'll get this job. Pray that they'll be able to do this and that. They're lost. Pray that the Lord save their soul. The spiritual is the most important. Again, I'm not saying that those other things don't have any concern. They do. But we need to keep things in their proper sequence. We need to keep things in their proper priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know how many problems I would have avoided in my life if I would have sought first the kingdom of God? You know how many situations I could have escaped if I would have just sought first the kingdom of God? There are problems and situations that you will never face if you seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first the will of God. There are certain problems. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems, but there are certain problems you're not going to have. There are certain conflicts that just aren't going to exist. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if people were honest, the reason many times we find ourselves in the situations that we're in and the circumstances that we're in is because we didn't seek first the kingdom of God. We didn't seek first the will of God. We didn't seek first the spiritual things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is to be our priority. Now, whatever is priority in our life, whatever it is, somehow, in some way, everything that we do relates to that priority. That should be the spiritual. That is, some way and somehow, if the spiritual is priority in my life, some way and somehow, everything I do, every decision I make, gets back to the spiritual. That's how we're to live. And that's how we live this more than conqueror life. This is how we live this kingdom of God life. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, what he's telling us is, you know, people will say the Lord wants a place in your life. Find that in the Word of God. This verse here tells me he doesn't want a place in your life. He wants first place. Not just a place wherever you can fit him in, but first place. The spiritual is to not just have a place. It's to have first place. He does not want prominence. He wants preeminence. He is to be the preeminent one. In other words, the Lord is not someone you just passively accept. He's someone you actively seek. And that is how you live this life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But again, it all goes back to, everything rises and falls with verse 19 and 20. Everything. And again, we preach it over and over and over and over again. But you can put band-aids on the rest of your life and band-aids will not fix any problem. You have got to get to the foundation. And the foundation here is what is most important. What is the most important thing in my life? Is it the Lord? We all say that. no one that, not too many people anyway, that are going to be honest enough to come out and say, well, I'll just flat out admit it, the Lord isn't very important to me. Even those who have no time at all for the Lord will tell you how important the Lord is to them. But really, truly, how important is the Lord to us? How important are the things of God to us? Because this is the foundation. And again, this takes us back again to that a life based upon the miraculous. The more real our salvation experience is, the more we realize that we're saved. The less trouble I have putting the one who saved me first. So we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever decision you have to make in life, seek first the kingdom of God. Are we going to move here? Are we going to move there? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Go to God, ask Him. Seek first kingdom of God. And there'll be a lot less. Oh, I should have. Oh, I should have. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Oh, if I only had to do that over again. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's all. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter. Seek what's best for your soul first. Brother Mark, come and lead us.